gospel is not irrational or illogical. People who don't understand the scriptures or even attempt to understand the scriptures think that the things of God and the things of the church are illogical, they make no sense, they don't know. The Bible makes perfect sense. And if you understand what is being said, and if you know, and the understanding that is being said is an ongoing revelation from Genesis to the book of Revelation. It's an ongoing understanding of what happens at the birth of Christ through the resurrection and ascension of heaven and the church and things. It's an understanding of all of these things that it all fits and makes sense. It's whenever you start pulling things out of context that it doesn't make sense. So the natural mind, even a religious one, cannot fully discern the saving truth of must be born again. Nicodemus being an example of that, he couldn't understand it. So, verse 5 of John 3. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit." Now, I remember years ago I did a more in-depth study on these, the Spirit, born of the Spirit, born of the water and the Spirit. And the one commentary I remember reading, he said, well, that is a person's birth. When a child, baby is born of the water, so he's a human, he's a person. So that never really set in there, because that would perhaps give credence to the reality of a child doesn't begin until it's born. So some of the birth, whatever they are, that like to abortionists, they might try and put that in there. But really, most of the commentaries look at the water as baptism, that you are baptized, you're of the water and of the Spirit. So you're looking at this a public declaration of who Christ is in your life, and we are making that confession before men, before others, and we are symbolically dying to our old way of life, resurrecting to a new way of life. Now, to those who are very specific and they have to do it the right time, you know, have to follow the Pharisaical Christians who have to follow the law of the scriptures, now that's where you get into trouble. Because sometimes you have to be baptized backwards 3 times in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have to be baptized 3 times forward, you know. And if you're not done the right way, it doesn't work. So, we only have to do it once, all right? God gets the point. You know, and if they're really not quite sure if they're saved, you just hold them down a little longer. So, that's like taking a hatchet to take care of an artificial tree. No, you don't hold them down a little longer. So, what do we got here? Oh, we're down here. So, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless he's born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus is emphasizing to Nicodemus that there is a distinction between body and spirit. There, you know, some people, you know, where is the distinction between the body, soul, and spirit? Well, Jesus here is outlining the difference between the body and the spirit, because that which is born of the body, well, that would be the baptism, the outward sign of being born again, life being surrendered to Christ, burial and resurrection. But born of the Spirit is that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to affect or touch our life in a way that we understand the strength of the Spirit and of God to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that we are attuned to the Scriptures and to what the Holy Spirit is teaching us in the Scriptures. Remember John at the beginning, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? So when we have Christ in our life, we have the Word of God in us. The Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. So it is understanding the scriptures that helps us understand the person who Jesus is at the time here and in eternity now. So we go on. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So don't get all cut out of, bent out of shape because they tell you you got to be born again. So what is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the Spirit, the spiritual life that we have from God is part of who we are, just as much as our DNA comes from our family, so the spiritual DNA comes from Christ. So the wind bloweth, and then he uses this illustration about the wind. Okay, in reality, you can feel the wind, you can see the effect of the wind, but you don't know where it comes from, and you can't predict where it's going. So that's, you know, so you think Jesus uses that illustration for Nicodemus about the wind, and he says where it listeth and hears the sound, but canst tell where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's like God working in our life, and you know, he is doing his thing in us. So born of water and spirit, reference to baptism, spoke about that. Jesus explains that while the work of the Spirit is mysterious, it is nonetheless real. Humanity cannot generate the wind. All we can do is respond to it. Because we cannot generate the wind or even accurately forecast it, does not mean it is not real. The same is true of the work of the Holy Spirit. He is real, alive, and is blessed, is the blessed third person of the Trinity, doing his redeeming work in our lives. John 3, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? So, your natural person, your natural mind, your physical person, wants to know, well, how can all of this take place? How can anything like that happen? Well, he goes on, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? You know, you are a master teacher of the Old Testament, of the Moses and of Abraham and of Moses and the Red Sea and the manna and conquering Jericho and conquering the land. Aren't you aware of the spiritual things going on? You teach this. So it's almost like Jesus is saying, you teach this and you see it as a physical reality, but you don't get the spiritual part that it is God who is making this work. So it's the same in our life that there are physical things that we do. Spirit, you know, we pray, come to church, we read the scriptures, but it's the Spirit that comes to help us make the application of that, that it's not all just in our heads, not just a head thing, it's a heart reality. And again, there are well, there over this week there was people, they had what they were doing in protest of ICE and all those other things, that they had the baby Jesus, I think, being taken by ICE agents because he was a foreigner, and then they had Mary and Joseph and all the people around them with masks on, you know, for tear gas, and they were trying to express, you know, what's going on in our society, and Jesus would have been, you know, kicked out. See, what their whole approach was something that was in their head about God, about reality, about what's happening in life. So, but where was the spiritual dimension? Where is the spiritual truth? They didn't have it. See, whenever there is this, you know, people have these logical arguments, they are presenting physical things, supposedly portraying something physical. you know, a physical reality, you know, Jesus being taken by ice, a parallel reality, unfair taking of people, and you know. But where's the spiritual reality in this? The spiritual reality is that Christ has come to save us from our sins, and that there is a change, a rebirth in our spirit that makes us aware of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit to help us understand what the scriptures are saying, the ministry that Jesus came to give to us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said, art thou a master in Israel? Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we do know and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. So what he's telling, we speak of what we know. And that's true. You want to know what a person's spiritual life is? Listen to how they talk. Like these ones who did the protest and, you know, using the nativity as a social protest. They're speaking of what they know, and they don't know very much in the spiritual realm. They don't know the things that of what they are saying. And we find that a lot of people are like that. If you want an opinion, just ask. And they're going to tell you what they know. And if they know it, then it's right. And, you know, it's like, I think you better go learn some more. So, and also it's important that people feel this way about their religion and their churches and their denominations, that they speak of what they know, and, you know, like the ones we said, baptized three times forward, that's what they know. And they'll tell you that this is the way it has to be, you know, and no, not really. Or once saved, always saved. You give your life to Jesus, you can never fall away. And people go live in sin and say, doesn't matter if I go to church or anything, God's got me covered. No. So anyhow, they speak of what they know. If I had told you, verse 12, if I had told you earthly things and ye believed not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So Jesus is saying, I've done miracles, I've shown to you spiritual things. I have given to you many, I have given and continue to give many spiritual stories, illustrations. And he says, if I told you earthly things and you did not believe, if you saw the miracles and you heard my teachings and you did not believe them, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So the challenge is, how are we going to believe if we tell you heavenly things? And Jesus is telling the Pharisees that. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So he's talking about how that Jesus, he is saying, I'm the one that came down from heaven to bring to you the message of Christ. I've come to you to bring the message of God. And he goes on to say, and as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So here in this brief encounter with Nicodemus, Jesus is telling Nicodemus about how that he's even going to die, that I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to die on the cross as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So now he's connecting Nicodemus to this understanding of everlasting life. So remember, the Pharisees were trying to keep all of the rules so that they would, you know, balance out the scales in heaven. And Jesus is saying that if you earthly things and believe not the earthly things, well then look at what I've done, look at what we're going to do, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we go to one of the most quoted scriptures, is John 3:16. Now, we just read, but whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the challenge is for us that God's love, and there's a commentary, one guy says, to try and explain John 3:16 is only to complicate it. It's self-explanatory. That God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whosoever believed in him should not perish. So Jesus is giving him the cliff notes. Not Cliff's writings, but Cliff Notes, of the version of salvation, and that is that he loved the world, God loved the world. He gave his Son, and Jesus is there with Nicodemus. I am the Son of God. Whosoever believes in him, believe in what I'm saying, will not perish. And then verse 17, one we often forget, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. So whenever people live under condemnation and guilt, it's not because of what God has done. It's because of what they have done, because Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. So the whole idea is salvation and forgiveness and bringing ourselves in a right relationship with God, bringing ourselves to understand what the scriptures are teaching us, and how that God has blessed us. And so he sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Now we know at the end of time, and we all stand before God, that in the great white throne judgment, there will be guilt and condemnation and separation and hell to pay. But until that time, people have the right for forgiveness. And he did not send them into the world to condemn them. And then, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So when we believe in Christ, so there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He that believeth in him is not condemned. So we find these declarations of what it means, or what not condemned, because you believe, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So, you know, well, what do I have to do to get to heaven? Well, we know be born again. Well, what do I have to do to stay out of heaven? Don't believe. Don't believe in what Christ has given you. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. But he that does the truth and the life are the shining, the light of his deeds are done and made manifest. This is who I am. This is who we are. This is what we've done. And God's light shines upon it, and there it is. And that the deeds may be made manifest, that they may be made known by the senses. That's what manifest. That they are made known by the senses. And you can look at them and understand them and see them for what they are, that they are wrought from God and he is the light of the world. John 3:16, 17, Jesus. Next week we do Jesus, the bread of life. That's in John chapter 6. Any questions, thoughts, ideas, commentaries? Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your word, for the light of Christ that shines in our life. We thank you for how you've watched over us and kept us, and you've provided in every way. We ask you to bless your word to our hearts, our minds. Continue to reveal your word to us, the living word, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.